The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on Life Today, Terrell Scott joined a gang in high school that led him into a life of drug trafficking and armed robberies. Brandy was one of his victims.
She was a connection. We used to party. We were living loose and wild. And I would come home from college. We'd party together. Well, I told her, I called and I said, hey, set up for X amount of drugs. And I sent two guys that were part of my gang in to have her and the drug dealer robbed at gunpoint.
Oh, wow. Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy. This is Tammy, and we're excited. We've got some wonderful guests. Yeah. Terrell and Brandy Scott are with us. They are the pastors out at Passion Life Church, southeast of Atlanta. But they have such a story, and Tammy, I just love what God's done in their lives.
I absolutely do. You know I do. I had a chance to talk to them before, and it's incredible to see what God does with a surrendered life. Mm-hmm. But it's such an unbelievable story of how these two came together. So welcome to Life Today, and that's where I want to start. You have to start, to me, from the beginning. Yeah, and we'll lead up to how in the world you two ended up married.
Amen.
Right. Tell us that story.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll be honest. I started compromising, opening doors in middle school, and it would progress. I would cycle. I started all 4 years on varsity football. My freshman year, I got hurt. Mm-hmm. And every time I would get hurt or something would happen, I would cycle deeper into the streets. And then also...
Meaning drugs?
Drugs, running drugs at a major level. And so it started small, and then it progressed through high school into college.
Where were your parents in this?
You know, some of it we were hiding, some of it they were aware.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really was addicted. I was using drugs, but I was addicted to the money. I was addicted to the fast life. I was addicted to the control. And, you know, that in the 90s, there was a major crack epidemic going on.
Yeah.
And just the amount of money we could make in a week, in a month. Mm. And so we capitalized on the reality.
It's an opportunity.
I could make $10,000, $20,000. Like that. And so, and then I never thought that I would really get caught in it, but it progressed fast.
Yeah.
And to a point that I really, when I lost my full scholarship, I dove all in.
Wow.
And I caught a 20-year sentence, a $500,000 fine. I go from the college campus, wrestling on the full scholarship, to the School of Hard Knocks. While I'm in prison, I don't get better. I don't repent. I don't cry out to God. I get much worse. I'm in prison, running a gang, running drugs. And long story short, I become the biggest drug dealer in the Georgia State Prison.
Jeez.
I bounced to seven different prisons. At the sixth prison, I have a guy try to rob me for drugs. We get in a fight. I get stabbed over my left eye, right cheek. I get locked down on isolation. While in isolation, I cry out to God, but I'm calloused, I'm cold. The investigator comes to question me again because we have really starting a racketeering ring where I'm running drugs outside and inside. When he comes and questions me the next time, I have another time where I cry out to God, and I'm sort of in this place where I'm starting to seek God some, but I'm very cold and callous, and I wasn't willing to let go of the lifestyle I was living. And so with that, I cried out to God, and I said, God, send me someone to walk the rest of my prison sentence with me. And this was not pure because I'm breaching security, bringing drugs in through the back gate, through the visitation, also bringing drugs in through officers and all those things. So with that, I prayed that prayer, and a woman wrote me that I had robbed at gunpoint, sharing the gospel, sharing about Jesus. And that really started a process in me. And so from there, I get shipped to my seventh prison. And when I go to the seventh prison, the same woman I had robbed at gunpoint gets a ministry visit, comes, looks me in the face and says, hey, I hated your guts for what you did to me, but I met Jesus. And through his forgiveness, I've extended forgiveness to you. And I want you to meet the same Jesus that I've met.
All right. So, Brandy, where did you first meet Terrell?
Yes, so I've known Terrell since we were little. Mm-hmm. Sixth grade, I knew him sixth grade, and I really liked him even in sixth grade. But my senior year, my mom passed away.
Okay.
And I used to party and drink a little bit,
really?
And drug
okay.
a little bit before that. But once my mom passed away, I did things mm-hmm. I said I would never do. And it was just a horrible time in my life,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
after my mom passed away. And then that's when Terrell and I had the bad drug deal that took place between the two of us. And I really hated him for that.
So you were the girl he held up at gunpoint?
Yes.
Terrell, what were you thinking? Why did you do that?
Yeah, so at that time I was in college, but I had also pulled off a string of armed robberies. We were setting up drug dealers in the Carolinas and in Atlanta, and she was a connection. We used to party. We were living loose and wild, and I would come home from college. We'd party together. Well, I told her, I called and I said, hey, set up for X amount of drugs, and I sent two guys that were part of my gang in to have her and the drug dealer robbed at gunpoint.
Oh, wow. While you're getting thrown in prison
right.
for all your activities, mm-hmm. something's going on with you.
Yes, yeah. yes.
Where was the change in you?
Yes, so yeah. after that drug deal, I'm telling you, I was, my mom's dead. My best friend just turned his back on me. I was suicidal. I was scared that these drug dealers were gonna come and kill me, but at the same token, I wanted to be dead. I
Did
felt
you?
So hopeless and so helpless yeah. and so lost and desperate. Mm. But let me tell you, I met a man that loved the Lord, and he invited me to go to church. And at first, when I told the man, sure, I'll go to church, I'm kicking myself, like, why did you just say you? The last place I wanted to be was in church.
Yeah.
I didn't know Jesus, mm. but when I said, yes, I'll go to church, and I walked into that church, do you know the Spirit of the living God? I met with him, and he captivated me in such a way, and I began to weep at all the sins that I had committed, and all the pain, and all the stuff, but I fell in love with Jesus, mm. the true God of the Bible. So as I'm reading the Bible, I come to forgiveness. Well, I'd never heard of such, and I really thought it was a joke when I first read it, like, God, so you're telling me unless I forgive this man that could have had me killed, I won't receive the forgiveness of God. Like, I didn't know how to do that, but I got on my knees and I asked the Lord, please change my heart. Help me forgive this man. And he truly did. He truly changed my heart to forgive the man that could have had me killed. And then a few, you know, years after that prayer, I found out he went to prison for wow. trafficking drugs, and I began to cry out for his soul. Mm. Lord, don't let him die. Because wow. keep in mind, we opened up. I've known him since sixth grade.
Yeah.
Wow. So I knew him before the sin and before the street life, mm. before all the junk ravaged our relationship. And I knew if he would be presented the same gospel that changed me, he would have to receive it. The true gospel of Jesus is too sweet to reject. When you've been broken and bound,
yes.
when you experience his love, it is like nothing else, right?
Life-changing,
yes.
life-transformative.
Yes.
Wow, and so the excitement that was on your life and just your renewed found faith, your salvation in Jesus, I can only imagine as you began to pray for him and God save his soul, that God then gave you this opportunity to connect with him in prison and show up and pray for him and his salvation.
Yes, and to look him in the face and say, you know what, I hated you for what you did, but this Jesus has changed me and saved me, and he wants to use your life.
Amen.
Wow. What did you think when she shows up? She started writing you first,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we wrote, and then I went to a new prison, the seventh prison I was at. She came as a minister to visit. The second visit, she sits across eye to eye like this, and at the end of the visitation, she looks at me, And she speaks a word that rocked me to the core. She said, you're not called to be a crime boss, but God has a purpose and plan for you. You've been leading people the wrong way your whole life. Now it's time to lead them right. Mm. And when she spoke those words, this old criminal's heart, this hardened heart, felt like the Spirit of God just lanced me open. I remember a tear running down the side of my face and hitting my boot. She said, the catch to crime boss is on my back. I have a gangster for a G and over the top a crown with CB in it. She knew nothing about, I mean, she knew I was living wrong, but she didn't know details of who I was at that time. And when she spoke that word, I knew it was God speaking to me, and I had a decision to make. And so from that point at our visitation where God touched me, that week I went back and I got in my Bible in my dorm. Everything she said, I read, and I didn't know the Bible. I've been walking with the Lord 18 years now, pastor. I didn't know the Bible then. So everything she spoke to me, I read. And when I finally came to a point where, God, I'll serve you the rest of my life, and I surrendered my life that following week to Jesus Christ. Best decision I've ever made in my life.
Was it all, you know, rainbows and roses at that point? Well, it had to be hard extracting yourself from that.
Well, I had to cut. I had made street codes. I had recruited people. I was running drugs in prison and in other prisons. I had hit men. I mean, there was a lot going on, right? I had to draw some boundaries. I went and talked to the guys in the gang in the streets, and I said, look, I'm going to serve the Lord. And actually what happened miraculously, now this wasn't all easy. I mean, this is through tears. This is on my face. This is crying out. This is making deep level commitments to God, breaking the vows I made to the streets and the gang. I got gang tats all, you know. But by doing that, the Lord intervened in those men's life. And it's not all of them, but some of them got saved while I was in prison.
Wow.
And so even now, we in the streets, seeing people saved that used to run with me 20 years ago, you know.
Incredible. And the guards, like he made an impact in the guards' lives. They seen the transformation. Like, is this the same man that used to?
No, it's not the same man.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Thank God.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, beautiful. Now, this isn't the end of that story. I mean, this is the beginning, right?
Sure, sure.
You're sitting here together today, and I know from our previous conversation, you got five kids now.
Yes, sir.
So how did this go from, you know, outreach to a guy in prison to husband, wife?
We both just started praying. God had already spoke, but I didn't have the unction or the understanding of God's voice when I was in isolation. But when she came, we started building our relationship on the Word of God, and then we started having conversation, and we asked God, are we called to be together? and God spoke to us clearly through His Word to each other, and that we were called to be together and be in full-time ministry. And so,
when I came to the Lord, I quit messing around with men, and I wanted a man of God. I was saving myself for a man of God. So when I went into that prison, it was to minister the gospel and look him in the face and extend that forgiveness. But when I drove away from our first visit, it's like some stuff was moving in my heart. And maybe 6 months or so, I know that the Lord spoke to my heart that will be your husband.
Wow.
And just so grateful because just what the Lord's done in our life and the way He's used our testimony of such restoration.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, the way this man loves me and our children and the community, I'm so thankful.
Incredible.
Even to share it again. Even though it's been so many years, it's so fresh.
Here's my question. What was the new reality that God gave to both of you about yourselves and then about each other and then about your purpose in life?
So some of the beginning scriptures God gave me after I repented, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans of good and not of evil. 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye have seen, nor ear have heard, nor entered in the heart of man what God has in store for those that love you. Even while I was in prison, while we were building a relationship, God started to speak to me about the nations and the promise to preach all over the world. And God started to do a deep inner work in me that was supernatural. Even I told God, I said, God, I don't want to get out of here until I'm right. I'm tired of hurting people. I wept over the things I did. And even when I got home, one of the first things I did is go back and let people know I was sorry and make amends and repay people. But understanding my need for the Lord, my need for purpose, and we built our relationship on the Word of God.
Yes.
We wasn't physical. Thank God we needed time.
Yes.
We were both well, I was unwhole. I don't know about her. She was been walking with the Lord, but I needed time to grow in grace and get in God's Word.
Yeah.
And so we built our relationship on the Word of God, fasting, prayer, and we used our time wisely. When she came and seen me at the prison, we were in there in the Word, and everybody knew, you know, all the guys that used to be, everybody knew. And so we were just very bold about our faith with the guards, with the warden. Even supernaturally, the warden called me into his office after I got saved. I was like, what happened to you? Because,
wow.
I mean, I was pegged the guy that,
yeah.
And so I was able to share my faith with him. And instead of doing all that time, I was released in 5 years.
I was going to just ask you, how long were you in prison? 5 years?
I did 5 years.
How long
have
you been out
grace.
Now?
I've been out now. Wow, we're going almost on 17 years.
Yeah.
So it's 16.
Years.
I've never looking back.
With the Lord over 18 years.
Yeah.
We've been married. We're supposed to be at 16 years now. So 16 and a half years.
Yeah.
And we started our church in 2013. But I have great men and women of God. That's something she did very well, is we were planted under people. I submitted to leaders, and we had great men and women of God that mentored us while I was in prison and then when I got home.
You know, last question for you, Brandy. If there is maybe a mother or just someone who has a loved one, someone they care about, relative, who is, you know, maybe running on the streets, maybe in jail, definitely not walking with the Lord, what would you say to that person to encourage them to keep praying and to hold on to hope?
Yes, I would just encourage them that if there is still breath left in the lungs, that there is hope, that just to be encouraged and to hold on to the promises that the Lord has given them, and not to lose hope. The Word of God tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yes.
So I would speak to those women just to hope again, to believe again, and to trust God at His Word and what He has spoken in regards to that.
Yeah, you know, if you're one of those, you've got someone that you're praying for, someone that just seems like a lost cause, pick up the phone. There's someone who will encourage you, someone who will pray with you, someone who will lift your loved one up to the Lord. Maybe you're that person. You want to call about yourself. You just feel like, I mean, I have made so many mistakes. God can't forgive me. I am hopeless. I got no purpose. Were you watching? God can turn things around like that.
Yes, amen.
Now, there will be a walking out. You may need to make amends.
Yeah.
You may need to make some changes, but that's okay. God will walk with you every step of the way. And it may start by you picking up the phone right now and calling someone who will just listen and pray with you and encourage you. So, if you want to speak with someone, do that today. Tammy, you know there's another opportunity we have to kind of go beyond ourselves, to look out and see someone else who is in need, someone who needs some help. We have a great opportunity.
We do.
To do something.
God's given us so many great opportunities, Randy.
Yeah.
Shows like this to help bring hope and encouragement. But there's also people around the world that need a lot of hope and a lot of encouragement right now. We get to be a part of that. We can't wait another moment. Because of that, I want you to take a second and watch this with us right now.
Right now, people around the world are suffering the effects of a deadly poison. And there's little they can do to avoid it.
Yeah,
The deadly poison of unsafe water takes a toll on every victim it touches. In the most tragic cases, the poison takes that which cannot be given back.
As I'm here with this little child, as precious as he is, he's probably between 2 and 3 years old, maybe 4. But you know, he may not make it past 5, 4 or 5, if he doesn't have the water that he needs. He has water, but it's contaminated. And so many more children like him all around the world, they need our help. Children like this, we want to see them grow up and have a chance in life. Let God touch your heart and let's help these precious children.
We talk a lot about the children and how vital it is to reach them. Precious little bodies can't process this kind of dirty, unclean, contaminated water. And then in a story like that, it just, like the wind is knocked out of me when I see this precious little family of children talking about losing their mother. This deadly, contaminated, poisonous water, it's affecting the entire family. Not only are they losing children in these villages, but they're losing their parents also. I just can't imagine what that must feel like. To have to live, especially without your mother. My mom means so much to me. And I just can't imagine the pain that that must bring these little children. And so when I sit here today to share my heart with you, and together we're watching that story, I just think, God, what can I do? What can we do as your people, as people of God? What can we do to help bring hope when we see a need in front of us? There is a need right now in front of us today, and it is urgent for these children and for their parents and for hundreds of thousands just like them. Today is the day to take action, to bring change, to be the hope for these families and these children so that they can thrive and live and survive and flourish. Randy, I love being a part of that. We know that there's a solution. We couldn't sit here and watch story after story like this every day and not find some kind of settle in our soul if we didn't know that there was a way to help these people.
Absolutely. And it is tragic. And you see whole families being devastated, as Tammy pointed out, because every time any of them takes a drink of water, they're gambling with their lives. Some of them, they try to filter it. They are doing all that they can. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. You need to know that. Mm-hmm. These people are doing all they can to not die from the water. But it's not gonna, it just doesn't work. But you and I can stop that cycle. Mm-hmm. Here's my question for you. Are you doing all that you can to stop the death? Are we doing, this is what we ask here, are we doing all we can? You know, 350 wells across 20 nations sounds like a lot, but when you're that child who's lost your mother, it's not enough. So I want us to do all that we can to stop the death cycle. $4,800 is the average cost. That basically will drill one well. Listen, if you can drill one well today, maybe two, maybe three, do it. You will be giving water with each well to an average of 1,000 people. Now, if you can't drill a whole well, I completely understand. That's why you can come together with others and give $144 for 30 people, $48 for 10 people. This is the last week we'll be talking about this on the air, but the campaign will continue. It only works when we come together. Tammy, you and I, the viewers, the missionaries in the field, we have to come together and stop the death. Will you do your part? Will you go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can? We can do more. We can save lives. You and I together can give them water for life.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of five. Through Mission Water for Life, now in its 25th year, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Word for My Day devotional set. These four seasonal devotionals each contain a daily reading, an encouraging verse, and a thought to ponder for each day of the year. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the His Word is Life tumbler set. These two 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with a scripture, will inspire you throughout the day and help keep your drinks well insulated while at home or on the go. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our beautiful bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Ooh, I hope you're going online and giving the best gift that you can today. You must know that it will make an eternal impact in the lives of so many around the world. You know the same as I do, Randy, what the change that brings.
I know. And you know, this is the last week we're talking about it on the air, but we do this year round, so we need you to get on the phone.
Yes.
Go online, make the best gift you can. Mm-hmm. Terrell and Randy, thank you so much. Your testimony just screams hope.
Yes.
Hope. Where can people find out more about you guys?
Yes, sir. So we have a new ministry we just launched around crusades and international work and inner city work called Terrell Scott Ministries. So they can go on our website at terrellscottministries.org. And also, they can find our book there, too, that we just put together. So we're so excited about
wonderful.
That.
Well, so God good. Just bless you guys for telling your story and for sharing with so many people.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
You. Love you guys.
Well,
amen.
We
bless
you.
Thank
you guys for having us. What an honor.
Thank you guys out there for watching. Come back. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
I haven't liked my husband for 25 years, she said, and I now know it was me and not him.
Wow.
Preventing Hormone Havoc tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.